Reading tonight from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, anger, management. Shall we pray for just a moment? Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of your word to our hearts and lives. Be with the young folks working downstairs. Have them get ready for Christmas program. I pray that you be with us this evening as we think about a very topic that hits most, not all, but most of us struggle at times with frustration, etc. May we learn together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible said, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So there was last week a command, a caution, and then there was a condition. If we do not learn how to handle our anger, I believe eventually our anger will handle us, I believe. Now, to manage something means that we need to see a sort of outline, the direction we're going to go. And so anger management tonight, I want to give you some practical tips. I hope that you will get some practical tips on how to help, the Lord will help you to control your anger. We need to see if there's a problem, first of all. For example, I was mowing last week, I told you before, and I was mowing, and the blade dropped out of my mower, my push mower, because the drive shaft completely sheared off, and so I know I have a problem. I didn't have to call Houston. I know without even calling Houston, we have a problem, because it's not supposed to look like that. So we need to see that there's a problem, if there's a problem. So the problem recognized, the principle recounted, and the practice recommended. So the problem recognized. There was a Peanuts cartoon that showed Linus, and he was throwing rocks into a vacant lot, and he shouts, this is for the nasty things they said about George Washington. This is for the people who hate little kids. This is for the people who kick dogs. This is for the hot summer nights, and this is for the cold winter mornings. And he looked at Charlie Brown, do you have anything you want to add? But that's just not how we're going to work with anger, and it's going to last. Even Charlie Brown later on in the same cartoon found out that's not the solution for their anger. Neither is pounding a pillow, thinking about somebody's head, or shouting into the pillow to try to relieve your stress. Of course, it actually does work sometimes. Helps me anyway. But that's not how to ultimately deal with your anger. Uncontrolled anger is a huge problem in our society across the world. We frequently read about those who go to extremes when it comes to anger. Even we find a motorist who have road rage and run other car off the road. And then maybe even we've heard of them even shooting the other person in the other car. In a Reader's Digest article all the way back to 2007 gave numerous examples of parents who watching their child's sporting activities erupted into anger and attacked one of the other people. For example, there was a father who actually beat another father to death at a youth hockey game practice because they got angry at one another. Another dad clubbed his daughter's high school softball coach with a bat because he had sat her on the bench because she had missed the practice to go to the prom. He was so angry about that. The article stated that 3/4 of parents who have attended a youth sporting event have witnessed other parents being verbally abusive. 1 in 7 have witnessed an actual physical altercation involving a parent. You may think, well, that's the world for you. I tell you, don't be so naive to think that Christians don't get involved in things like that either. They do. Angry people often split churches, usually over the pretense of maintaining doctrinal purity. Christian homes are often torn apart by anger. Christian anger destroys relationships, causes some to leave even the church permanently, because they have seen the anger. Now, the problem recognized. Now, again, a secular source said this. Some signs you might have an anger issue. First of all, you get aggressive. Physically, emotionally aggressive. Perhaps you become passive aggressive. You might not show your anger in the form of a blow up or shouting, but you become sarcastic and mean and become bitter towards a person. You harm others. Perhaps showing you might have anger issues. You can stay angry for days. You might not be able to let go of your anger and you dwell on it for all days and weeks. Or perhaps you get angry quickly and often. Or you blame others. You get angry and you put the blame on somebody else. So those are potential. If you have those going on, you probably most likely have anger issues. I found the 5 biblical steps to controlling anger from Pastor Ronald Franklin, pastor in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The problem is recognized. He said, it's happened to all of us. Someone has deeply hurt us, wounded or offended us, or frustrated us, and we become very, very angry about it. The anger gets us into a grip and won't let us go. It seems to take hold of our minds, and we just can't stop thinking about it. It's like we keep carrying around a 100-pound weight strapped to our back, and we cannot get rid of it. One of the most fundamental teachings of the Bible, he says, prominent in both the Old and New Testaments, is that we cannot afford to continue carrying that weight of anger around in our lives. Psalm 37:8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Can you imagine carrying around, I can't imagine carrying a 10-pound weight, but a 100-pound weight all day on your back? I tell you, by the first 5 minutes, I couldn't think of any last 5 minutes, 5 seconds, I'm stopped, and Mr. Womack, come and bail me out. And so there would be like, I mean, oh, I can't even handle 100 pounds. It's funny, when I was younger, I used to deliver roofing supplies, and I'd do a 90-pound on this arm, and a 90-pound roll on this arm and walk, but that was like 25 or 26 years old. And so I could do both of them at once, not for very long, but now it's like 9 pounds would be an effort for me now. But can you imagine, if we don't get rid of this anger issue, and let me ask you, who is the one damaged most by your anger? Yourself. It is you. Many times the person who has hurt us badly or annoyed us or frustrated us to no end, I told him or not, one guy I worked with at the hospital, I said, if there are two people in the world that frustrated me, you'd be both of them. And so I don't know if you've ever told anybody that, but there are people in our lives, and if we're not careful, they don't even care about it. They don't even know we're angry at them, and they could care less that we're seething because of what they have done to us. So who is it hurting? It's me. It is destroying my peace and stealing my joy, and often is hindering my prayers. And that, the Bible says, is foolish. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Anger and rest in the bosom of fools. So we are to acknowledge our anger. The Bible is very forthright that we will get angry at times. Be ye angry and sin not. Now, there is a anger that is okay at things that shouldn't be going on. There's a righteous anger, if you would, but most of my anger, most of our anger, is at things we shouldn't be angry at, etc. In fact, when handled rightly, it can be a legitimate God-given tool that fulfills a definite purpose to move us into action. Our two cats, when Sasha now, she is the immunity collar cat. That's my wife's cat, and she's 16, and she's got physical issues, and she's, you know, getting older, and so she has immunity collar. Sometimes, though, the furry one, otherwise known as Darius, he gets angry, and even today, you can see he gets angry at Stephanie, and so he wants to take it out on who? Sasha! And so Stephanie goes, don't you even think, you better leave her alone. And the one time that she gets angry at Darius, and he tries to pick on Sasha because she can't run very well, and he just has his attitude is just like, it's just like a bad attitude constantly. That's him. Just like his meows even sound like a bad attitude. If we're not careful, we'll let it start controlling us, and we will say things and do things. Our anger gets out of control. Be angry and sin not. So it's not wrong to be angry, but where we do go wrong is when we allow the anger to control us instead of we controlling it. And the first step, taking control over our anger, is simply to acknowledge that we really are an angry person at times. Hello. My name is Tim, and I get angry. That's maybe the first start. That might be the first thing I need to say. Probably the worst thing you can do, says Pastor Franklin, is to do with our anger is to sweep it under the rug and pretend it's not there. Does it work? So the first step to overcoming this destructive power of unrestrained anger is simply, I believe, to acknowledge that it is real and needs to be dealt with. So the problem recognized, secondly, as we're turning to our text, you're still there, the principles recounted. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. We'll even throw in there with all malice. So one person has said, put off the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes. The grave clothes of our old life. Let all, means all without exception, let all bitterness. It's used at the beginning and at the end as this exhortation to put away all these things, all the noxious fumigating attitudes that we have. Where to put those away? Let all bitterness be put away. Be very careful not to nurse a grudge. It can grow then into a root of bitterness. Why put it away? Because a little bitterness, even a little leaven, can leaven the whole month. Get you some potatoes and get you one that's rotten and put it in there on the bottom especially, and give about 2 months, not even 2 months, give it a month, and go back in there and keep it in the hot place and see if, like, man, rotten potatoes, don't they smell awful? And, man, wow, something's going on here. And that one rotten potato likely, most likely, especially those around him, has affected all around it. So we're not to become bitter. I was listening to a testimony this past week, phenomenal testimony of a woman who's in Christian ministry now. She has a ministry to those women who are in prostitution and tries to get them out of prostitution. How does she have a ministry to them? Because she experienced the very, I could not imagine, all she has gone through. She got saved. The Lord gloriously saved her. And she now gives a credit to God. But she says, I will spend the rest of my life trying to overcome the abuse I experienced in the past. But with God's help, I can. And she has turned that, instead of becoming bitter, she has turned that into a ministry where she can have a ministry to people, ladies especially, that are undergoing the same thing. And that's how she said, I went into a stripper club. And have a ministry, and she, as soon as she told them her story, they immediately responded to her with, and they would listen, because I've been through that. I've been through all those things. In a book called None of These Diseases, one chapter, Dr. McMillan says, the high cost of getting even, he says these words, physical maladies, including ulcers, high blood pressure, and strokes, are connected to harboring resentment and hatred toward others. He says, it might be written on many thousands of death certificates that the victim died of grudge-itis. Grudge-itis. And Dr. Ironside, H.A. Ironside, regarding this word, all malice, at the end of our verse, he said, I wish that as Christians we would let the word of God have its way with us. Is there any bitterness in your heart against anyone on earth? Do you say, but you don't know how I've been tested, I have been tried, insulted, offended. If you had not been offended, he says, there would be no reason for bitterness at all. But he says, let all bitterness be put away from you. The poor lady, I was mentioning earlier, her father, then her stepfather, then a Sunday school teacher, then a high school teacher, all took advantage of her, and she had been through all these things. She felt more secure in a strip club dancing because of the bouncers who took care of them than she did at home. And all these things she suffered through, and then God gloriously saved her. She has 3 children of her own now, and she has a ministry to people you and I could never, ever have a ministry to, because she has been through that. Let our bitterness be put away. Pointed, this used to mean pointed, sharp, describing arrows, and more figuratively of what was sharp or penetrating to the senses, a bitter, pungent taste or smell, and finally what is painful to the feelings. Let that bitterness be put away from us. We get our English word picric acid from that, which means explosive compound. It's not a bad idea for the impact that bitterness has on the one who retains it and the one on whom it is poured. It's explosive. It causes so many lasting problems. We say, well, I can just say what I want to say and they'll get over it. Well, they may well not get over it for the rest of their lives. They may not. How we need to guard what we say. It's a spirit of irritability that keeps a person in perpetual animosity. Isn't that a terrible place to be? Perpetual animosity, making him sour and venomous. Bitterness applies to the bitterness of spirit, which men vent with bitter words. Wiersbe says, an unforgiving spirit is the devil's playground, and before long it becomes a Christian's battleground if we won't forgive. Somebody hurts us either deliberately or unintentionally, and we do not forgive him. We may begin then this idea heading toward develop a bitterness within, and it hardens our heart. Think for just a moment of Fanny Crosby, a writer of at least maybe 8,000 to 9,000 songs and poems. She refused to let the seeds of bitterness germinate in her life. She was 6 weeks old. A minor eye inflammation developed. And I was just reading. I did not know, but the story is told by some that the doctor was a quack and prescribed a poultice potion to put her in her eyes that made her then blind for the rest of her life. She wasn't born blind. She was blind because he gave the wrong directions, the wrong medicine. Talk about a reason to be bitter. But the spirit-filled woman, she quoted as saying one day, if she ever met this physician, she said, if I could ever meet him now, I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind. Can you imagine that? How would you and I feel? There'd be a lawsuit of $15 million to start with. Someone did that today. She says, thank you. I would say, thank you, sir. this quote, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, anger is the word arge there, it means to swell, refers to an inner deep resentment that seethes and smolders. Arge is used of God, refers to this constant uncontrolled indignation towards sin. Thumos, the word wrath there, means violent movements of air originally in water, consequently came to mean well up or boil up, refers to a passionate outburst of rage. We need to lose our temper and not find it. That's the idea, lose it and not find it. Represents an agitated, vehement anger that rushes along relentlessly. The root word has to do with moving rapidly and used of a man's breathing while pursuing an enemy at great rage. Our game is more subtle and deep-flowing anger. So we're let either one, anger or clamor or wrath, we're putting them all away. Just pick one. We're putting them all away. If you would. As Dr. Sarah Eidelman gave 10 commandments of taming your temper. This is in the Reader's Digest in 2018. And some may, I'm just going to briefly give those, but some are helpful. She said, first of all, exercise. Short-term anger is helped if you exercise. Secondly, write a letter. That's what Abraham Lincoln did. Someone offends you, write a letter, then tear it up and put it in the fire and don't send it. Cool off. Wait for a time before you confront that person. Don't do it in a spirit of anger. Fourthly, don't throw a temper tantrum. The popular myth, she says, that venting anger is always the best strategy. She says, venting can cause more problems than it solves. At times, think about people that you know. I remember Bobby Knight for one thing, his mouth and his anger. Don Fernandez, he was a great musician, but I remember him for throwing the chair down the steps in the high school building. He was a band director at McLaughlin Sayersville High School. Communicate. Fifthly, slow down. Think about what God would have you to say to them. Sixthly, use humor. She says, if you think of your coworker as a dirt bag, visualize them as a bag of dirt going about the day. Seek alternatives. Now, this is not from the Bible. No, it's just her personal ideas. Seek alternatives. If the daily commute causes you to have uncontrollable road rage, take a different way or stop working there and work somewhere close to home. Work at home. Work in the there's all kinds of jobs you can get remotely to work at home now. Not as many as there were, but there are some. Weigh the pros and cons. Ask yourself, is anger achieving anything or is it just hurting me? 9, use problem-solving skills. Ask yourself, is there anything I can do about this problem? And 10, accept the situation. Recognize that some things in life just aren't fair. Sometimes we have to accept the injustice as part of life, she says. We have to just let God handle things on a spiritual level. There's things we just can't. I don't have the answer. I can't fix it. I can't do it. It's out of my timetable. It's in God's hands. And if you're like me, it's like, I want to have everything lined up and in control and I know where everything's going. But God says sometimes you just got to trust Him. Trust Him. Let these all be put away from us. So the problem recognized, the principles recounted. The word put away in 31 means to lift up something such as an anchor of a ship so the anchor could set sail. What a great picture for us. We're to let these go. Anger and wrath and bitterness and clamor and evil speaking. Cut all those ties and now we can go forward because we've cut and released ourselves from these anchoring us back, spiritually speaking. It's the idea of taking up and carrying away, removing these evil works. It means to them make a clean sweep of these vices. Imagine these vices as the worn out, filthy, dirty, old, unregenerate self, our old garments. Let's lay aside our grave clothes and put on our grace clothes. What God has given us grace may return that to others. It's an aorist imperative, a command to be carried out with a sense of urgency. Do it now. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And do it now. You know, my mom and dad generally, when they told me something to do, it wasn't like a time release thing. Okay, now in the middle of the week, if you feel up to it, Tim, and you have the energy to go out and hold a garden, if you've got time, honey. I know you're a busy young man. You've got a lot of basketball to play. You've got the dog to run around with. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to practice the piano. And you better practice the piano. You've got to do all these things. If you have time on Thursday or Friday, just take the garbage out. It was not like that. It's like, the garbage needs to go out. I don't see you moving yet. Well, they didn't say that. But that's the idea. It's do it now. Let those be gone now. Put them away now. So the influence in our lives is over and done with. And by the way, I don't think you're going to lick. You can lick it today. You're going to fight it again tomorrow. You're actively fighting or passively losing your war with anger. I'm fighting it, but we've got to ask God to help us control it. Spirit-controlled emotions are just the opposite of flying off the handle. And I'm not sure where that little phrase came from, but we know what it means. It's also this put it away is in the passive voice. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Does I really care? Yes, we should care what it means. If the subject is acted on by an outside force. So this, with God's help, this outside, the God, we cannot do it ourselves. We have to rely upon God to give us the emotional, spiritual strength to trust him and let it at his feet. And vengeance is his. Vengeance is not mine. It is his. Supernatural strength provided by God. So the problem recognized, the principles recounted, and thirdly, the practice recommended. In our texting, let these, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you, including also and with all malice. Step number one was acknowledge your anger. Step number two in five steps to controlling your anger is set your will to forgive. Set your will to forgive. Ultimately, there's only one way to escape the deathly grip of anger. When we have been deeply hurt, offended, or frustrated, we need to learn to forgive others, to forgive. We need to learn to do that. Sooner or later, we'll have to do that. Colossians 3:6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But Pastor Tim, it's that person's fault completely. Okay, we got to forgive them then. Doesn't mean you have to sign on for everything they did, but we need forgiveness to do that. Step three is pray the prayer of forgiveness. Do you remember Stephen in Acts 7:59? And they were stoning him, calling on the name of the Lord, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. How many of us, when we're losing our lives, can say, whoa, don't charge them with that, Lord? I'd say, you know, someday they're going to get it. God does not harvest all things in October. Someday there's going to be. You'll be held accountable. Forgiveness means, forgiveness means I no longer hold a person's transgression against them. I literally cancel the moral debt they owe me because of their offensive behavior. That means I will never again try to extract my kind of retribution from them, whether by word, deed, or attitude, for what they have done to me. Forgiving someone does not mean I excuse or minimize the offense. In fact, I can only forgive someone when I believe their offense is real. Otherwise, there's nothing to forgive. Also, it doesn't mean I forget what they did. Forgiveness is not a decision, or is a decision, not a feeling. If you owe me money and I cancel your debt, it doesn't matter how I feel about you. You no longer owe me anything. Forgiveness takes place when I make the commitment, he says, before God, to no longer hold a person's offense against them. That doesn't mean all negative feelings toward the offender immediately go away. But when those emotions arise, I simply reaffirm my forgiveness before the Lord. Eventually, my forgiveness, my feelings will catch up to the fact of that in my heart, and I have forgiven that person. That's what the author says. But it says in the Lord's Prayer, as we forgive others, if we're not going to forgive others, why do we expect God to forgive us? We're supposed to forgive other people if we expect to have our prayers answered. Once we make the decision to forgive, he says, we need to take action to put the commitment into effect. Perhaps the most effective way to do that is to verbalize our forgiveness to the Lord, he says. When we declare to God our decision to forgive the person who hurt us, we recognize that it is primarily to him that our commitment is made. In biblical terms, he says, we establish a covenant of forgiveness with God. Fourth step, ask God to help you deal with your angry feelings. Realistically, it often takes time to really feel forgiveness, especially when the wound I've suffered is a deep one, but God is gracious. What believers have discovered, he says, is that when we make the heart commitment to forgive, God can bring our feelings into line with the reality of that forgiveness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. I believe also we understand we're incapable of ruling our spirits right without God's help. It's the Holy Spirit working in us, is it not, that helps us do that. There will be times when just the thought of this individual and this lady said in her testimony, there are times sometimes when one thing triggers me and I go back and think about all the things I've suffered through with a certain person. She says, it's like new things come up in my life all the time I've got to ask God to help me with. She was her father-in-law, or her stepdad, who had abused her in her early life, was dying like 2 or 3 days from death. And the Lord told her, spiritually speaking, to go and forgive him. I don't even want to see him. So she went into the ICU And she didn't know if he could even hear her. And she put her arm, her hand on his arm, which, by the way, was so very difficult for her to do, and said, I want you to know, in Amy's name, I forgive you. And he, all he could move was his eyes, and tears came into his eyes. And the wife said he'd never seen him follow anyone else ever since he'd been in here. And he followed her across the room with tears streaming down her eyes because she had forgiven him. It is, vengeance belongs to God. It does. We have to be careful of the results. There was a visitor to Yellowstone National Park and comments about the grizzly bear. That he would no one to allow to eat, the grizzly would allow nobody to eat with him, no animal except the skunk. He said this huge bear could fight and beat almost any animal in the West, he says, but it lets the skunk share its meal. The grizzly surely resented the skunk and could have easily killed the little creature at any time. No doubt the bear would have liked to have gotten even with him for his intrusion, but he didn't. Why? Because he knew the high cost of getting even with the skunk. Sometimes we forget the high cost of trying to get even. Forgiving. And finally, the fifth step, if you're still hanging in there from Pastor Franklin, refuse to keep thinking about the offense. Refuse to keep thinking about the offense. We are to let it go. Let it go. For so many, when somebody has deeply offended or unfairly used us, etc., you say, it's never happened to me. Give it time. It will. It will happen eventually to you. We keep going back to that. Oh, if he hadn't done that. Oh, do you know what he did? Oh, and I still think of Danny McCarty who took that horse home in the fourth grade. I'd love to let it go. Doesn't bother me at all. Never, ever bothered me in the first place. Doesn't bother me now that I've never seen that horse again all the way back in the fourth grade. Doesn't bother me. Yeah, I think he wanted to be my friend on Facebook, or I saw him on Facebook. No, I didn't befriend him because that was a long time ago. I've gotten over that. Perhaps we even fantasize about someday he's going to get his comeuppance. I'm not sure where that word comes from, but the just desserts for what he's done for me. Many times people who find their thoughts continually running in that angry rut feel that there's nothing they can do to stop it. After all, they think you can't prevent such thoughts from invading your mind, but that's not true. It isn't. The Bible says we can do exactly that. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are to bring all our thoughts into the obedience of Christ. How do we do that? We count your blessings. It was a young man named Johnson Oatman Jr. who in Medford, New Jersey, at a United Methodist church, would listen to his father lead his singing many, many years ago. He wrote songs like Higher Ground, Know Not One, but this probably is his most famous song, Count Your Blessings. Gypsy Smith, it came over to England, and Gypsy Smith was holding revival there in England. And he said, that's one of the very few songs that we used every night in the service. He said, people were whistling it. People were singing it. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings and name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you're called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you'll be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. And I find that is true. I just tried that this week. I was discouraged about whatever this, that, and the other. I said, let's just thank God for this. And if you start thanking God, you will come up with reasons. For example, for us, we had the money to buy Christmas presents without having to go into Hawk for or to borrow this or borrow that. Or put it on. We had the money. Used to 10 years, 15 years, 20 years ago. Now we have, praise the Lord, the money to pay for it now because of saving back. That's just an example. So instead of, wow, I had to spend so much money on Christmas gifts, it's like, wow, you know what? We have them paid for. We don't owe anything for them. They're already covered. And we get so, maybe it's just me, I don't think so, but sometimes we get so negative about things. We don't. We're looking at the black dot. We have a whole piece of paper, but I tell you what, I see right there, Pastor. There's a blue dot on there now. There's a blue dot. Yes, but there's like 99.9% of white paper. Yeah, but I see I'm telling you, I see a blue, oh, there is a blue dot. It's probably like 99%. There is a blue dot there. But we forget about all these things. We focus on the one, two, three, maybe even five things that God's not answering or hasn't answered as we wanted or we're still waiting for answer on, and we forget the thousands of things over our lives that he has answered over and over, and the things even today, he's given you life to be in church. He's given you salvation, and we forget those things. I forget those things. So here's the secret, he says, to keeping your thoughts under control. Every time you find that your mind has slipped back into the same old rut of anger and bitterness, deliberately turn your thoughts to some of the many blessings God has brought into your life. You may need to write out a list so you'll have it handy or use the scripture. The Bible itself provides ample raw material for counting your blessings. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He's coming again for us. Perhaps this evening you need a spiritual plumber. Your heart is all clogged up by your anger, bitterness, hurt feelings, or an unforgiving spirit. God has forgiven you your sins through Christ, but you haven't extended that same forgiveness and grace toward other people. Perhaps we need a heart cleansing. The grace of God demonstrated at Jesus Christ is a plunger that can unclog the heart. It can clear the pipes. It can free up the pipelines to once again convey the fresh spark of waters of the joy of the Lord. So if you're angry, this is the answer, is God's word. Ask him, Lord, help me with my anger. If you're thinking that you've been so, count your blessings. There's nothing good in going on in my life. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Fanny Crosby, at the age of 6 weeks, lost her eyesight, and yet she would say to the doctor, thank you, thank you, thank you. Cora Ten Boom was thankful for fleas, that they might have a Bible study during Auschwitz, wherever she was held at the Nazi prison camp. I think there's a lot of people who are so spiritually beyond us at times. You ever feel like that sometimes? I trust it. We need to feel that way sometimes. There are people who are so spiritually tried, imprisoned, suffered, killed, who gave their lives. We have had it so easy in America, and yet sometimes I am the most complaining. Shouldn't be that way. If you're dealing with anger, let the Lord have his way in your life and look to him. There are some tips in there. Listen, if you forgot the tips, get a copy of the message and listen to it again. May we allow God to work in our lives, have emotional control, and manage our anger with his help. Let's pray. Lord, help us this week, this day, that we will allow you to work in our lives to such an extent that we will be counting our blessings instead of grumbling and looking at people who've even maybe legitimately even offended or hurt or frustrated or done us wrong, etc. We can always find that. Lord, may we look to you. May we let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from us with all malice, and may we be tender-hearted. Remember, forgiving even as Christ has forgiven us. May we be that to other people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.